Yo, it's Yeezo. I'm back with Joaquin again. Say hi.
Hello. Been a long time. Not really. It's
not
been like
long
a semester.
Enough. They're gonna be like, oh, yeah. This guy again.
Always here.
He's a study. Just a study. Yeah. He's my sound guy.
I'm just here as a filler.
Oh my God, that's horrible. Guys, these are just jokes. But today's an exciting episode. And honestly, it's so relevant this week for a plethora of reasons. Some I'll share, some I won't. but Joaquin knows. Joaquin knows this episode is so applicable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, guys.
I mean, you couldn't have time to better, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, I really couldn't have. It's come up so many times this week that low-key, I barely had to do any prep and thinking because it just was natural. The prep work was so natural.
It was just there.
Yeah. But today's topic, you know, we've had the pleasure of talking about, you know, what it's like to be a control freak, what it's like to, like, be somebody that understands that they're not in control. And now it's more of deciding when you know it's time to step away. How do you create those boundaries? You know, like, when do you surrender your control? And I thought Joaquin would be an awesome person for this because I find myself often coming to Joaquin and saying, hey,
what's like, too far?
Yeah. What is too far for anything? Because I think he's pretty good at setting his own boundaries. How would you feel? What do you think?
I would agree. I think I'm very clear on what I want, what I don't want, and then when I kind of have to, like, just let it happen because it's out of my control. And I've kind of just developed that. I mean, being here alone, like, in college, you kind of just have so many experiences that it just comes around, and you kind of, it's my third year, so kind of learned a lot.
He's an adult, guys.
Yeah, guys, I'm 21. But, yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's a matter of kind of understanding who you are. It really comes from, like, I always see your childhood and all that stuff kind of develops your early on boundaries. And I think from there, once you are in college, you're seeing so many experiences that you haven't seen before, and you kind of just realize what you do want, what you don't want, and it just goes from there.
Okay. I think the reason why you're so good at this, though, is because I feel like I see you weigh out your options pretty often. You're a very big pro-con guy. Not to be astrology girl, but low-key, that matches the whole Libra stereotype, you know, being a little justice person.
I think.
Because, I don't know, you always have a logic. Okay, these are great examples. I'm going to give very generic examples, but I am super bad at sometimes setting boundaries with people in terms of, first of all, saying no. Joaquin is really good at saying no. Joaquin will tell you no, and he literally wouldn't, like, give a flying beep word. He literally does not care. He's gonna tell you, no, I'm busy, I can't do that. And I don't know, like, to me it's so hard to say no, because to me that's just me quitting, because I can make it happen, but, like, at what cost?
Yeah, and I think that's where the weighing out your options part comes in, because you kind of really have to know and understand, is this really worth the time, or is it going to take over something that kind of I really should focus more on? And I think that's kind of, like, one of the bigger points that has helped me, always trying to find a balance, because maybe, like, sometimes you've needed stuff, like, while it was, like, finals week or midterms week this past semester, and then it was just kind of like, is this going to take up more than an hour of my time, or is it going to be, like, a little break that I can have? And then there's always, like, a balance, and I can and can't do certain things, and I think kind of understanding, is it really worth it, stuff like that, is one of the bigger parts.
How would you describe your relationship with control in general? Like, in terms of, you know, when you're in control, when you're out of control, like, understanding situations you can't control, how do you feel?
So, I definitely like to be in control of what's going on around me. I wouldn't say I'm a control freak, but I just do like to have control of the stuff. But I also do know when stuff is out of my control, and I just have to kind of sit back and, like, watch everything happen. That's kind of one of the, not, like, the better things, but it's kind of, like, I don't like it as much. But I know it has to happen. And I can't be in control of everything. I can't control the weather, stupid stuff like that. So it's just kind of, like, stepping back and being, okay, let's just deal with it. And, I mean, try to adapt to it in a certain way.
Yeah. I can't say the same for when he's drunk. But when Joaquin is sober, he's literally like the quiet kid in class that's watching and calculating, and you kind of have to be scared of them. You know when your teacher in elementary school is like, watch out for the quiet ones.
That was not me.
Were you talkative as a kid?
Yeah, after I learned English.
That's true. I guess who are you going to talk to in Spanish and Portuguese?
Exactly.
You're like, hola. They're like, what? Mm-hmm. These Texas kids, Indiana kids at
that
time.
True. But yeah, so I think also from there, that also did kind of help me out understanding like when is my time to talk, when is not. Kind of just like being also a second or like being in ESL, stuff like that. It was kind of like you learn like social cues and stuff like that with being people that also like deal with different things. And I think those are different aspects that kind of allow you to learn like, am I in control or am I out of control in this situation? What am I going to do with that?
That's so interesting, being in ESL and that, I guess, giving you also social cues in a different culture and language.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
Wow, I honestly would never think of it that way. To me, I'm just like, oh, you're learning that manzana means apple.
Yeah. Like, I mean, some aspects, I would say the beginning were really like, it's this and that, and like just translations and trying to put sentences together. But I think there's so many people from so many different parts of the world that, I mean, nobody acts the same. And especially different cultures, and that's like completely different. I think that also kind of helped me understand what it's like being with people from all over the place.
So back into like this topic, I guess, of control and boundaries and whatnot, something that's arguably really tricky when it comes into relationships, not only like with, you know, your partner, mm-hmm. but also with like friends, like, you know, even you and I or you and Simon. That's a big part of relationships. How do you find, like, how is your control and where do you find yourself feeling comfortable to step away in relationships? Not step away, like, say, peace out. Like, step away in the terms of, like, I don't know, you're like, oh, this is something I can't control and I'm not going to try to control it or change it or fix it or I don't know.
I think it depends on situations because I've known Simon for so long that I'm at the point where I just like know him and I just know like what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So Simon's very like, it's just kind of like intuition. It just comes to me and I know what's going to happen and that's the end of that and that's normally always right. But I feel like with just like random people or like people like friends that are not like too deep with, I think with them, it's just kind of like I kind of pay attention to how they're acting, kind of like their behavior. And if something's like really affecting them, I'll obviously kind of just try to step in and see if they need anything. But if they're going to like just don't want to talk about it, step out, I just know I need to step back, kind of let them deal with it on their own until if they do want to come to me. And I think from there is kind of like putting a boundary that I respect you. And if you need anything, I'm there. If you don't, then I'll just stay back and I'll let you do it in your own peace, in your own time.
Yeah, I mean, and I see that even, like, with your relationship with me, I feel like
sometimes
I'm not the easiest to deal with, and you'll just be like, okay, we're not doing this. Like,
yeah, and it's also because you also do realize by yourself when you're, like, doing too much or doing enough, and I think I also do kind of help with, butting in and, like, telling you because you are a close friend, and I think that makes a difference. So I can kind of tell you kind of like, okay, you're wrong, or, oh, no, you're right.
You need a chill.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever, how do you decide what deserves your control? Like, what kind of determines for you that, oh, you know what, it's time for me to step away from this? Like, how do you decide that for yourself?
I think I normally try based off if it's actually something I can control, if I can even do something about it. I mean, there's some stuff that's been going on in my life recently that I have no control over. And I've just kind of like, it took me a little bit that I couldn't do anything, but I was able to realize like, that's not my issue. It's somebody else's issue and it's just for them to deal with. And I think that was really helpful in that aspect because I do always try to control things, especially when they're going in a wrong direction. But most recently I've been able to just kind of like, okay, that's it. Like I can't do anything about it. I've realized that for the past, I mean, it's been not that long ago, but I was able to just like push away from that and be like, okay, let's just observe. And if there is something I can do, I will, but I'm not going to overstep or try to like control it as I wish I could. So I think it's more of a situation basis type of thing.
I feel like stepping away takes, from my perspective, bravery.
I think it's harder than stepping in.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you know what's crazy though? So many people would disagree. Yeah. So many people would rather play the, ignorance is bliss card and step away, even in something minuscule, like a group project.
Yeah.
Let's say they text in the group chat and they're like, oh, there's an issue with our project. I'm usually the first one to be like, oh my God, let's solve it. That's it. Yeah. I'm in. Like, I'm going to fix it. Even if it's not even my part of the project, I'm going to want to attack it and control it immediately because I'm shitting myself.
Yeah.
And then you have that one kid or those two kids or those three kids that just like, just let go and let live. Yeah. Somebody's going to fix it. They're not letting it take their whole Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of had some situation like that this past weekend when we were in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That they were like blowing up my phone. And I was like, hey, guys, this is a situation. I think this is a good way to fix it. However, I'm unavailable right now.
Yeah.
I can revisit this when I am available again. But if not, like, you know, you guys do that. And I had to mute it because I know myself.
Yeah.
If I didn't mute it, I would have kept trying to solve it with them. And I would have been on my phone the entire time when it's literally my friend's birthday dinner.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I don't know. I've been doing better at stepping away.
Most definitely.
But I think a big thing of control, though, is that my phone reminds me of it all the time. Like, most of my anxieties and stresses come from my phone. If I see that there's an argument in the sorority group chat, if I see that they're trying to figure out Halloween costumes, if I see that my best friend's asking me to figure out an Instagram post, if I see that the group chat for the group project is freaking or a Canvas notification, it's so hard for me to be like, oh, we can't do that right now. Because in some regard, my control freak-esque-ness is also an effect of me being kind of a workaholic.
Right.
Because I'm in my head, I'm like, if I have the ability to do the work, I'm going to do it. Like, it wasn't until recently that I stopped doing work when I'd go over to your guys' house for Sunday dinners.
Yeah.
And you even brought it to my attention. You were like, dude, you come to our house, but you're literally working. And I was like, yeah, but I'm spending time with you guys while I work. Yeah. And you were like, that's not how that works. Because in my head, I'm like, if I have time and I'm alive, I should be working. Because if I'm not working, then I'm wasting time. I'm not getting ahead. And I'm not being the best. Like, I don't know.
I don't think that's the wrong mindset to have. But then that's when your idea of boundaries comes. It's like, when do I, like, whenever you're having Sunday dinner with us, you're only with us for like 2-3 hours.
Which we watch House of Dragon. And that so I put my work away for.
So good.
But
I think you kind of like, that kind of also helped you because you're like really into the show.
Us having so now it's just kind
of
like
all three of us just sit down on the couch in silence and then just watch the show and then like kind of talk about it over.
In silence means Caitlin getting mad at like the bad characters every now and then. I'll be like, those assholes. I get so mad.
And I think that is a good example of like little, I think little things like that also do help you. And like whenever it comes to something more serious, like, yeah, we're able to kind of set a boundary on, okay, let's not do like, yeah, maybe if I have something urgent, I'll do it at the boys' house, but that's it. And then you kind of just like put it away. You talk to us while we're cooking dinner or vice versa. And then from there, I think it's something that's applicable to a larger scale or a more important scale for that type of fact.
Yeah. I mean, cause there's always a bigger fish to fry.
Oh, always. Every day.
But you see, so then I'm like, there's a bigger fish to fry. I can't worry about the little fishes.
Oh, if it was that easy, that would be better.
I'm like, I can't worry about the little fishes. I'm worried about the big fish. But the thing is that, you know, I could be working on what I think is the big fish and my mom will text me and be like, oh, we need to get a flight still. Like Caitlin, you haven't even texted me about getting your flight for Thanksgiving. And suddenly that becomes the big fish.
And it kind of just takes
like,
over.
Dude, having attention issues does not make the control thing easier. Because, like, you want to be in control so badly, but you're such a scatterbrain. Like, I am.
That stuff just kind of, like, randomly takes over.
Yes. And I hate having too many things to control at once.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like, the flight and the homework and the meeting and the text that I'm doing. I'm like, wait. Because one of them is going to miss out.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I think we've talked about this. I'm, even with, like, guys, and I've said it on the podcast before, I'm either all in or no in.
Mm-hmm.
And by no in, it doesn't mean that I have no interest. It just means, like, if I have to say peace out, like, I'm not going to worry about it for longer than 30 minutes. I'm going to be like, oh, so sad to see you go. Bye, girl.
That's it. Like, yeah.
You know,
that
or I'm, like, distraught, devastated because I'm all in. Yeah. I'm one or the other. And me being such a extreme person in that sense makes, I think, the whole like balance thing.
Yeah, because you are always on one extreme or not. And I think that's kind of you, like school, you're all in. That's like your life and like work and all that stuff. So I think that kind of is like one way to, I still think the example of us being at our house, just watching that, is like the best way to think about everything.
He's like, Caitlin sucks. She does homework while we eat.
In other words, yeah. But I think like on whenever you do have so many big things going on, I think that's kind of when I just kind of, that's a good time to like take a step back. That's what I tend to do and be like, is it really more important for me to do my finance homework or my marketing homework? My finance homework.
That's so horrible.
But it makes sense because that's what I'm majoring.
It's gonna take more time. It's your major.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna help me more in like after for what I want to work. So I think it's like it's more better put my focus there and all my energy and then use the remaining for this, which is maybe not as important, or it still is, but like maybe not as like urgent or applicable to what I want to do.
I mean, maybe someone disagree, but I mean, this whole thing with this recent class that I was just deciding to cut my losses with, that was a really hard decision for me to make.
Yeah.
Because I think me, when I let go and I let go of control, I'm so scared that that's synonymous with quitting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to remind yourself that sometimes throwing in the rag is necessary. I mean, it's not always... Throwing in the rag doesn't always mean that you're stepping back. You know, stepping back can be something much smaller than just throwing in the rag altogether. But I think, like, knowing where you need to prioritize your time and effort and realizing when something just isn't working for you,
mm-hmm.
that was, like, a huge step for me this week.
Oh, definitely.
To just be real with myself.
Most definitely.
Because it's so hard to admit to myself that maybe this is something that I can't do right now.
Yeah.
Maybe this isn't something I can do right now. Because it almost feels like a failure sometimes when you have to step back, at least for me.
But I don't think losing and, like, kind of stepping back should be in the same thing.
They're
not the same thing.
They're not.
And so I think it's kind of like, maybe it does feel like that because of, like, past experiences and the kind of just always, like, doing everything right. But I think it's, like, not, I don't think it's, like, but I don't think it's kind of like that. Something that should like put you down or stuff like that. I mean, if anything, it's better this way. So I think there's just more to it than just kind of like, because you did analyze, stood
back
and be like, is this really right? And then you were able to decide. And I think that's a big part of it.
Which is the real stepping out. Because sometimes if you're in too deep, it's hard to look at your situation from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the whole stepping out of power being important comes into play. Because if you never step out to look from the outside in, you might never find a true solution. I think if you're in the puzzle, like you're in the maze, you're going to maybe come up with two or three ways to get out of the maze.
Mm-hmm.
But you might get stuck. I think looking at it from a bird's eye view is so helpful because you're like, oh, I could have just been doing this all along.
Yeah.
Like, why did I let myself get stuck? And I think that's why the whole idea, you know, that's why I wanted to do this whole series, because over the summer and every day as an adult, I find now that I'm actually becoming an adult, you know, where I'm responsible for my future in a real way in terms of work, school, relationships, you know, the decisions I make, I'm starting to realize how serious they really are.
Oh.
And that's forced me to step outside. Especially with my internships and work and family life this summer. That was, like, crazy to juggle. It doesn't seem like a lot, but in the moment, since it was my first time kind of juggling that sort of thing, it was frustrating. I would get stuck. I was like, there's no hope for me. And then I'd step out, and I was like, wait, this is what the situation really is. Mm-hmm. You need to chill.
Yeah.
And I think stepping out of your power is just as important as stepping in and taking control of your situation. I think you need a glance at it from the outside.
Yeah, and I think something like a big part of that too is sometimes you just need that second opinion. Like you said, there's might be two solutions, but there might be a third one that you can't even see, and it's you take somebody else's perspective to kind of get an idea on it. And I mm-hmm. think that's also really helpful for me, kind of asking other people for advice when it's something that's like actually troubling me. Like it's a big deal. It's not just like school or anything. It's more than that. And getting that third, like that third point perspective, is just so important sometimes. And you got to go to the people you trust the most that are going to do something in your best interest. They actually care about you and want the best for you. And I think that's a big part of kind of being able to step back. And it's also admitting, like, maybe I do need someone else's point of view. Maybe I do need to be able to get a point of view that's not mine. That's not maybe one of my close friends. Maybe it's like someone who has gone through different things, so they also know.
That's a big one. Yeah, admitting that help isn't like a weakness.
Yeah, it never is. If you're asking for help, and if you're asking the people you trust, why would they ever say anything that's going to hurt you? They want the best for you always.
Yeah, which, you know, for me, I'm such a skeptic. I'm like, trust no one. So that's a very select group, but yeah. But with what you were saying about, like, you know, reaching out and having help, it reminds me of, you know, when you're watching a show or a movie and you're so mad at the main character because you know something they don't.
Yeah.
Because you're watching it from outside.
Yeah.
You're seeing all the other pieces. Or, like, when you have a friend that's stuck in, like, some shitty situation, like a relationship, for example. I mean, as a girl, I see this all the time. Girls that are just in relationships that, you know, I'm just like, why? Because you see it from the outside. You see how they change. You see how the person behaves with them. You see how the situation is affecting other things in their life versus them being in it and all they know is that. And they're not realizing all these things because they're not watching from the outside. And you kind of just want to shake them like, wake the fuck
up. Yeah, yeah.
Wake the fuck up.
I get that. And I think that's also kind of like,
you need to do it for yourself though.
Yeah, you can't, like, you in like those situations where you're talking about the relationship, you can't just go and butt in. Like,
that no, would, that it's would, not
that's,
my place.
That's a boundary you can't
absolutely
cross.
Absolutely not. That's so disrespectful.
But if that person were to come to you, you would obviously try to tell them in the nicest way possible, probably.
Yeah, you like, know what? Really not, maybe you should think about it. I see that also for you.
Yeah, I think that's a big part. And it's also understanding, because, I mean, people do butt in into, the, like, those situations where they just kind of, like, say their opinion. But that, like, creates
that
resentment.
That just doesn't work,
It creates resentment for the person you're telling.
Ugh, I have such strong feelings about that because girls, I guess even guys, I know about girls because I am a girl and I hang out with girls. Yeah. You know, I'm not a dude. I don't know what dudes do, but I know girls and I know, like, a lot of the girls I know, they're very quick to step in and tell each other, oh, like, why are you doing that? Why are you dating him? Or like, oh my God, you shouldn't do that. You're going to see him again tonight after what happened between both of you? And like, maybe you're right. Like, maybe, like, yeah, she really shouldn't be seeing him again after that. But dude, I'm never going to be the friend that says that. I'm going to be like, you're a grown ass woman. You are in charge of your feelings and your emotions.
Yeah.
He's not in charge of them. It's not his job to be a good person. If you're choosing somebody that's, like, you know, not going to choose to be a good person, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, to an extent, of course, with a grain of salt, every situation is different. But I say that in the terms that, like, it is not my place to be like, ay, Joaquin, you're going to go to her place again after she, like, screwed you over?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Joaquin's a grown-ass man. I think that he knows that she did that. You don't have to remind him. Yeah. And, like, if he chooses to do that and he gets hurt again, you know what? Honestly, all the power to him in the sense that he was, like, strong enough and brave enough and, like, was... And to me, it's, like, a show that they really just believe in love like that. I mean, sometimes it's just plain stupid.
Depending on the situation.
Again, depending on the severity of the situation. Because not every situation is that light.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in typical light, you know.
Just generalized kind.
He was, like, with another girl. Yeah, like...
Very, like, soft.
Yeah, soft, nothing serious.
But, yeah.
Not, like, hurting people in any serious, serious way. It's just not my place. You know that. You know what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to do that again, that's you. You're an adult. Because I would never want somebody stepping in and tell me how to be an adult.
Yeah.
I think it's disrespectful. We're friends. Yeah. I will be there for you when she fucks up again.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't make you believe something. You got to learn it on your own. People need to learn things for themselves, and I think friends sometimes are hard on understanding that.
Yeah,
because they want to control.
Exactly, because friends want to step in. Friends, I think it also depends
with the best intentions.
Yeah, I think it also depends on situation by situation, because there's obviously some things you can't just go through.
Yeah, there's some things that you should definitely step in.
That are just not. It's like, no,
there's
you
certain
can't.
Situations that I will tell you step in 100%. But for the most part, like, I know my dad has especially raised me this way, and honestly, so has my mom, even though she's maybe less cautious with her boundaries. But my mom, I mean, she does have boundaries, but she's wild. Love her.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad's, like, really, really serious about them. And he's very, very private. And, I mean, I think I'm very similar in a lot of those ways. And I think you know that in terms of, like, I don't know, knowing when to step in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to be like, oh, how's your relationship?
Yeah, you kind
of... That's none of my business.
I have to bring up if you didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that is none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's somewhere where people overstep a lot.
Yeah.
Boundaries.
In general, I think, like, relationships and, like, those type of situations are the kind of biggest.
Yeah.
But I think you can also, like, applying it to, like, maybe just general friendships. It's also there. There's some stuff you just, If they don't want to talk about it, that's the end of the story.
They don't need to.
And you don't need to push it. Because if you do, it's like I said, it's going to cause resentment. There's going to be anger, and it's going to be like, why is he asking? Why does he care so much? Like, what's the deal? And I think that's kind of something that happens, especially like our age, where it's more like it's a teenage, not teenage brain now, but it's like,
but
it's still
young.
We're like,
we're babies.
Yeah,
we're
exactly. 20. So it's like kind of overreact sometimes. Maybe like, why do you care so much? Like, what's the deal? Like, why are you trying to like butt into my life? It's my life.
Yeah.
And especially when it's like another person that's also 20 years old trying to tell you what to do with your life.
You're like, just you like, don't even know what you're doing.
I don't know. We're like, even.
We are all fried here.
Yeah. There's nowhere to go around. There's like, I can't really take much from you.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, that being said, though, you shouldn't be counting on somebody else to step in and look from the outside. So I guess it's really important to learn that you need to step on the outside yourself.
Yeah. You got to also be able to kind of
remember you need that bird's eye view.
I think the bird's eye view is honestly one of the most helpful parts about it, about learning your boundaries and learning when it's right and when it's not to, or to control or not.
Yeah. Even in small ways, I don't know. Like, I was telling Izzy about this on the last episode, which was more about chilling out and stepping back. This is more so, I think, boundary focused. But, you know, I started only writing in my agenda one day at a time, which is normal for most people, I guess.
Okay.
For me, I like to write like a week and a half in advance. I'm worried about like two Tuesdays from now. I haven't been doing that.
Has that been helpful?
Oh my God, so helpful. Because there's no point in worrying about two Tuesdays from now, because I don't know what the fuck is going to happen between now and then.
And that's the perfectly good example of stepping back, kind of realizing, chill out.
Dude, because little things like that help.
Yeah. And it's also because little things about like, oh, this isn't 2 weeks. Like, oh, that's 2 weeks. That's 14 days. That's so close. And it's like, no, it's 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks.
It's a lot of time.
Like,
if you think about
all the things that have changed in 2 weeks.
Dude, anything could happen in 2 weeks. And it's like stuff like that, I think, is allowed kind of like, oh, I step back here. And then you kind of think about it like in a bigger situation. As I said, the bigger picture. And then you're kind of like, I could do the same thing here. Just take a step back. Maybe it's not important to worry about right now. Stuff like that. I think it just keeps on going. It's like a circle. Like everything applies to everything in one way or another.
Everything is everything, as Miss Lauren Hill said. I had to. But honestly, low-key, me saying that, good segue into my favorite part of the episode. Yes, my favorite part of the episode is only 5 seconds. what's your song of the week?
Oh, song of the week? I would have to go with... Co Wetzel.
Guys, he's not even a country fan like that.
Yeah, I never listened to Co Wetzel.
That's crazy. Love by Co Wetzel. Is it Co or is it like Coe?
It's K-O-E. Co.
I think it's funny that his last name is Wetzel. Wetzel's pretzels.
Wetzel's pretzels.
No, that's a really good song. That's a good song pick. I don't know. Lately, this weather, I love the fall. Fall's my favorite season. Fun fact. Like, actually love fall. It's just the best weather. But it's been in, like, the 50s, 40s. You know, you can roll the windows down. It's got a nice breeze. It's been sunny. I correlate that a lot with, like, Amy Winehouse or just, like, 1960s girl groups. That being said, my song of the week is Hey Lover by the Daughters of Eve. I know you don't know this.
No idea.
I'm
guessing it's really good, though.
We'll listen to it in the car now.
All right.
But, yeah, that's my song of the week. It's a good one to roll the windows down and pretend you're in a movie. Well, know your limits, surrender your control, back the fuck up. And any last thoughts?
Get a third's eye point of view sometimes.
A third's eye. Honestly, yeah, get your third eye's point of view, because
another person's point of view.
They know best, your third eye. Anyways, didn't know you were spiritual like that, Joaquini. Guys, I call him Joaquini. On live radio,
no comment.
He's so mad at me. Okay, it was great talking to you guys. I'll see you next week. Peace.